You are listening to Latin Waves, a weekly syndicated program. For more information about our program, visit www.latinwavesmedia.com.
My guest is Damian Gillis. Damian Gillis is co-founder of a new magazine called The Canadian Common Sense, and we're very privileged to have him on our show this morning. Welcome to our show, Damian.
Oh, it's great to be with you again, Sylvia.
Wonderful. Now, to begin the show, I wanted to give our audience a sample of the work you do. And this is a video from a recent campaign you did with Alexander Morton, which meant a walk through the province, raising awareness about fish farming that is causing the destruction of our salmon. So I'll begin the interview by sharing this with our audience.
Like the wild salmon they're fighting to protect. A diverse group of BC citizens recently completed a migration of their own to the provincial capital in Victoria. They converged on the lawn of the legislature to cap off a 400-kilometer walk for wild salmon led by biologist Alexander Morton down Vancouver Island in the preceding weeks.
So, I'm thinking we get to keep our salmon. Not because I walked down the island, but because every one of you showed up.
This is the biggest rally bringing First Nations, environmental groups, citizens, everybody that we have ever seen on an issue like this. And
the march, which featured large, colorful crowds and spirited First Nations ceremonies in dozens of communities along the route, was designed to send a message to governments to clear our coastal wild salmon migration routes of ecologically damaging open net salmon farms, over 90% of which are owned by three Norwegian corporations. The migrators came from all over British Columbia, Washington State, and further afield. Early on, three young women had walked from their respective communities in Kingcom Inlet and Tofino on opposite sides of Vancouver Island to join the march. In the days leading up to the grand finale, the walk down the island received warm receptions in Duncan and the seaside community of Sydney, where the group was joined by a canoe full of supporters who had paddled all the way from Hope, down the Fraser River and across the Georgia Strait.
Yeah. Hey, that's really fantastic, guys. You're amazing.
Really a great way to wrap up an incredible journey, right down from Hope, down the Fraser.
We met lots of campers, lots of fishermen, lots of people just sitting on wharfs, on docks. Everyone was in support. Everyone who lived near the river or had anything to do with the river and knew about the issue were in support of getting fish farms out of the ocean.
Saturday morning began early as the walkers set out for their final destination in Victoria.
It's inspiring, and I want to see more people in political life take up this cause and say we've learned now, we've learned our lesson. We want wild salmon, and we do want wild salmon in British Columbia. We have to protect it.
Along the way, crowds continued to swell at various stop-off points approaching the city center. By the time they reached Centennial Square downtown, the crowd was in the thousands. There, Morton was presented with a ceremonial eagle feather from First Nations, the highest honor they could bestow upon the salmon warrior they count as one of their own.
Walk on!
Communist tourism needs Pacific wild salmon, not Norway. Atlantic salmon in pens!
As the group marched down Government Street, joining more citizens awaiting them at the legislature, the crowd topped out at close to 5,000.
Still coming in from downtown, folks. You're making history today. I can't think of any place I'd rather be right now. It's inspiring to look out there and see all you folks.
And it's that intuition that has brought us from many different places, from all points of the compass, from out of the comfort of our homes and our families, that has brought us here today to serve notice on the provincial government, on the government of Canada, on the Norwegian corporations that are wreaking havoc in the pristine waters along the coast and imposing their absolutely toxic and repugnant fish farming industry on us.
There was a key theme to the afternoon, besides the push to move open-net salmon farms out of coastal waters and into land-based closed containment systems. It was the unprecedented unification of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal British Columbians.
It's great to see us all getting together at last. There's been a bit of conflict.
We've always been told that our drums beat like a heartbeat amongst our First Nations people. But I've heard all of us beating together on the drum. We shall move forward to make every effort that Alexandra has done to ensure that there is a place for our children.
The event was highlighted by powerful speeches from diverse citizens, some voices familiar, others new.
I want to say something to the people who inhabit this building a lot, as I once did. You bastards don't own those fish. You don't own those rivers. You don't own that environment. That's ours. You are the reason that we're in this trouble. We expect you to make up for that by going back to Ottawa as a government and saying that people of British Columbia will not stand this any longer. Get rid of those fish farms.
We have come this far. We are so close, but we are not quite at the end. And it would be great if everyone here today could write a letter or send an email to their MP showing your support for wild salmon, to put pressure on the government to pass this bill and pass other legislature that will protect our environment and our wild salmon. Thank you.
And the wilderness tourism industry shot back at the fish farmers' favorite jobs defense.
Some of us heard the minister in the house there have said shame on these marchers because they're going to destroy the farmers' jobs. Never is there any mention of the people whose jobs are being destroyed right now. Our operators represent the people who take people from around the world to see the bears, the eagles, the whales. We're very concerned that our livelihood is going to disappear under the current regime of the farms. The farms brag about their 6,000 jobs in BC. That's total direct, indirect, and other jobs. Our numbers are about 40,000 jobs. There's room for farmers if they would go to closed containment, but not where they are now.
The next destination for some of these salmon farming critics is the headquarters of the industry in Norway, where the two largest global operators and owners of BC Farms, Marine Harvest and Cermaq Mainstream, are having their annual general meetings in Oslo.
And we're going to be going to the shareholders meeting in Norway, so we'll be bringing your message. And
it remains to be seen how provincial and federal governments back home respond to the voice of the people so clearly enunciated here.
It all comes down to this: do we live in a democracy or not? This is a test.
But the migration has been undeniably successful already in terms of rallying the public together. These committed citizens undoubtedly face a tough road ahead to reach their ultimate goal of clearing a path for the recovery of wild salmon. But they've taken some big steps in recent weeks. And as the migration showed, to save their sacred wild salmon, they'd walk to the ends of the earth. This is Damian Gillis for the Common Sense Canadian.
That was just incredible. Damien, listening to that and watching the video is just so thrilling. I have shivers on my skin. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your insights. What did you learn from this journey?
Well, it sort of was a culmination of certainly I've been involved in the issue for a couple of years. Some of the people that you heard from there, like my colleague at the Common Sense Canadian, Rafe Mayer, have been on this for a decade or more. And so for some of those people, it's been a very long journey indeed, and nobody, I think, is under the illusion that this is the end of this issue. Far from it. But I think what happened there is that it sort of turned the corner and that it reached out to mainstream British Columbia public, people in Victoria and Vancouver who came over for this. And so what was great to see is that there have been a lot of people fighting for this issue in isolation for a number of years, and some good environmental groups that have done good work, but it hasn't been a public movement. And what we've seen, not just in Victoria there, what people can see if they go to the Canadian.org, our website, and want to watch that video and see the images that go with, which would show you the 5,000 people or more that turned out in Victoria. It wasn't just that. It was all the trip down the island from before that and all the smaller communities where hundreds of people came out and the kind of support that they showed. It really gave, I think, all the people that have been following and being involved in this issue a sense of hope that the public is ready to stand up on this issue. And right now I can tell you that this video is being shown at the AGM, one of the biggest fish farming companies in the world in Norway, by my colleagues who are over there, and you know, sending the message and showing them these companies operate 92% of the fish farms in on our coast, what the Canadian people are saying. And I know that it's reverberating, and I know that this is just the beginning of the end. In other words, we're not anywhere near there yet, but we've shown that people care about this issue. I think there's a moral imperative that's been established there amongst the public that now opens the door to other things, civil actions that may occur from here on out, people deciding to take to the streets in other ways if the government, both provincially and federally, don't respond to this. And there will be continued escalating public demonstrations on this, and I think you can expect to see more and more people come out there as they understand the connection between wild salmon and our identity as British Columbians and our ecosystems and everything that salmon means to us. And I think that's finally getting through, and that's hopefully what people saw, we'll see in that video, what they saw with the people that who were fortunate enough to be a part of that in Victoria.
For people who were not part of this walk because the media did not give this coverage, or we're not aware, what would you say is the significance of salmon to our economy, to our culture, and why is it so important to protect?
Well, I think there's, really plainly put, there's no more important entity naturally or otherwise to British Columbia than wild salmon. And I'll say that, I'll explain what I mean by that. Multiple levels. First of all, it has enormous cultural significance and food significance as a traditional food source to our indigenous people up and down the coast and throughout British Columbia. These farms in Campbell River can affect indigenous communities up the Fraser River in Burns Lake because these fish, or Prince George, the Fraser River, the out-migrating smolts pass by these farms, and there's a lot of question as to whether or not those farms in Discovery Islands area, for instance, are impacting out-migrating sockeye smolts. So this is a BC-wide issue for indigenous communities, for commercial fishing communities, like my hometown of Campbell River, where I grew up, which is, very little commercial fishing industry left to be spoken of. But when I was a kid, that's how my friends made their living, going out on their parents' boats in the summer. And that's how, many people in my community, how my community, Campbell River, was really started as a fishing community. And there are many communities like that up and down the coast. Ecologically, it's the linchpin of our coastal ecosystems. It feeds the bears, the eagles, the orca, the wolves, and also the nutrients from the salmon feed our forest. That's why we have huge coastal rainforest. In the same time, our trees grow a lot more because they're fed by the nitrogen and nutrients that are in the salmon. So it's really the energy source of our coast, and it's this incredible natural in a world where we're struggling to find energy solutions. Salmon is a natural energy source. It does this all on its own. These fish grow up in our rivers. They go out to sea, and they come back. They feed the entire coast. They fertilize the forest, which take the carbon out of the atmosphere for us. I guess you could say it's a perfect natural system, and what we're doing right now is we're messing that up, and when doing so at the worst time possible. It's a free, healthy food source that comes to our doorstep on a predictable schedule every year, and we're messing that up in a time of extraordinary concern about food security, where we are facing a possibility of not being able to feed ourselves. And in terms of our economy, we have a multi-billion dollar wilderness tourism industry with 40,000 jobs, as you heard Brian Gunn from the wilderness tourism industry explaining there, direct and indirect jobs just in wilderness tourism, and that is very much based on salmon. And that's why those operators up and down the coast are against these open net salmon farms. The very most optimistic job assessment for the farm salmon industry here is 6,000 jobs. That's direct and indirect, and you compare that with 40,000 that are very much being put at jeopardy in the wilderness tourism industry, 10,000 that we used to have in commercial fishing. So, and not only that, but those industries are largely locally owned. So the money that comes, the profits that are made in those places can stay in those local communities, stay in British Columbia. This, as you heard, is a 92% Norwegian-owned industry. So the profits from these fish farms in Canada leave our country and they go to European shareholders. So there is really nothing good other than the few jobs that could be replaced with a more sustainable close containment fish farming system that did, and which just happened today. Overweighty Foods just declared that they're only going to buy closed containment farm salmon, and they have a supplier in Washington State called Aquaseed, and they're going to be their exclusive supplier of farm salmon. This is happening right now. It's real. There's a report that just came out. It's been in the works for several years looking at the economic viability of closed containment farms, and it's there. So the industry doesn't want to change. They've had a good deal dumping their crap, their waste, their toxins and parasites into our marine environment for free. It's been a great system. They've been able to externalize all their costs and make lots of profits and send them back to their shareholders in Europe. It's not a good deal for British Columbians, and that's what you're hearing here.
But even the closed containment poses a threat as well, right? Because it takes 3 kilos of fish to produce 1 kilo of farm fish. So
farm salmon. Let's farm be really salmon, clear. Yes. Yeah. So the answer may not be is in a truly sustainable, fish farming system. You'd be talking about tilapia, carp, and things that are being grown right now around the world that are herbivores and don't take the 3 to even 5 kilograms of wild fish to raise it 1 pound of a carnivorous farm salmon fish. You're absolutely right. That's another issue. But right now, I think what we're saying is let's, very in the immediate term, get these open net salmon farms out of the pathway of our wild salmon. We're breaking the laws of nature. We've been told this by countless scientific reports for decades around the world, everywhere where this industry operates. And that's where people are finally fed up. And they're, you know what, let's take matters into our own hands. We need to tell our governments to do this now.
And speaking precisely about that, your magazine is titled The Common Sense Canadian, which people can read by going to thecanadian.org. In your magazine, you talk about the truth, speaking the truth, and that liberating spirit. What does it mean when our governments violate, the common people's dissent to these farms and continues to impose policies to protect the rights of those small entities that run the farms that are not even Canadian, they are from other countries?
Well, it means a whole lot of things, and it's part of a systemic problem that we have. I would completely concur with that. This is just one reflection of a corporate-driven system of governance here that does not reflect the will of the people, where these companies are able to make donations to candidates who then, repay that by supporting them when they're in office. And there are many other connections here, but we're also talking about a system that really wants to destroy wild salmon on our coast, because we have all this, in the eyes of global capital, we have a coastline here that has this enormously valuable, probably the most valuable stretch of real estate on the planet when you look at offshore oil and gas and ability to ship tankers full of oil from the tar sands. That's what we're talking about, the Enbridge pipeline, Run a River hydro projects plant up and down the coast, the water assets, the logging that has yet to be done in the eyes of industry. So you get rid of salmon and you get rid of all the people who support it, and all of a sudden you open up all this coastline to industry even more so than it has over the years. So I think you're talking about a system that doesn't want to see what the public is demanding right now. So as Alexandra Morton said, this is a test. And this, I'm interested in this storyline as one sort of kind of wedge into this larger discussion of how do we make sure that our governments reflect public will. If they won't do it on the salmon issue, then they're not going to do it on other issues. I think that there are a lot lot of positive signs right now where people are taking matters, the power back into their own hands. This HST campaign is a great example of that, which, according to my best information, really is on track to succeed right now. And that would be unprecedented as well. So I think that, like I say, it's part of a bigger problem that we have, but let's take this issue right now as people are rallying around it and follow it to its conclusion, which I think if the public rallies enough and they make this enough of a, make it clear to these politicians that this is a voting issue, that we will not support candidates who haven't made a clear stance on this issue to remove open net salmon farms from our coastal waters, then I think you'll start to see that that change happening.
What role has the media played in obscuring the information needed to inform the public, and what do you see as the role of the Common Sense Canadian in contrast?
Well, I mean, plainly, I wanted to show people what really happened there, and we've had 5,000 hits on our video this week since we posted it up, and so there's, you know, we're not competing with global TV, but those are people who care about the issue and are going to take action and do something. There was a whole wave of letters that were written to, I should first of all say that the media coverage actually was not that bad, but on the weekend of the rally, the CanWest print papers reported the event as being nearly 1,000 people when there were 5+ there, and that's according to the police and then many people that I spoke to after trying to corroborate those numbers and based on my own video. And you can see that, you know, I mean, images don't lie. When you go to thecanadian.org and you want to, you know, check out that video, you'll see there was a lot of people there. And so I think that may have even backfired. If their intention in that, it wasn't just sloppy journalism and their intention was in fact to obscure what really happened there, bury that story, then it backfired in a lot of ways because there were so many letters to the editor in the following week from concerned citizens who were angry at these newspapers saying, how dare you say that I was there and there was with. So it actually served to kind of give more legs to the story, I think, in a lot of ways. And what we want to do here is continue to build. We're just gotten started. We're only a little over a month old here. And this is myself and Rafe Mayer, who at one time had the biggest radio audience in the country. And we have a lot of connections out there, a lot of potential, I think, to unite people with good information. So our project over the next year is to build up our email list. We encourage listeners to go to thecanadian.org and sign up for our weekly email bulletin so you can stay informed. And this is the kind of stuff that we do. We look at solutions to the challenges that we face. We hold our governments and industry feet to the fire and report the things that the public needs to know, what's really going on. And we show these kind of situations where people are being empowered and coming out in the streets and standing up for the issues that matter to them. And the things that we really care about and are really focusing are the ones that we think are really matter to the future of all Canadians: water, energy, food security, democracy. That's our focus. So if you want to learn more about that kind of stuff, if you want to see it from a distinctly independent Canadian perspective through video and audio and articles and all the experts and contributors that we have, experts in the field, some really great Canadians, you can see all that at thecanadian.org.
Thank you so much for being with us. For tell us once again, how can people access the Common Sense Canadian?
Yeah, just go to thecanadian.org. You can see our all our recent stories, and everything that we've done is in archives. You can search by these different issues that I was talking about. And we also rely on public donations and contributions to be able to remain independent. So if you're inclined to do that, we really appreciate that kind of support. And please do join our email list, and we're just launching our Facebook page in the coming weeks as well. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
After I was born, I went home to watch my TV. Everyone was nice and the smiles were so sparkly. I watched what made them happy and I watched what made them cry. I learned about toys and candy my mommy should buy. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day on my TV. teaches how to love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to feel. All I need to know, I can find and see on my TV. Soon I was a teenager and I knew just how to dress. I learned to use deodorant so I would always smell my best. I got myself a part-time job to buy the things I needed to have. And the payments on my supercharged Camaro really aren't so bad. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see. All around the world, every night and day, on my TV. Teaches how to love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to feel. All I need to know, I can find and see on my TV.
Everybody be careful, everybody be very careful, keep watching your TV. There are people who are laughing when they wink or a nod. There are people who are questioning our great TV God. Everybody be careful, everybody be very careful, stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking, there are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even own a TV. Everybody be careful, oh everybody be careful, oh everybody be careful.
Everything I know about my country I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see. All around the world, every night and day, on my TV. Teaches how to love, teaches what is real, tells what life is of, tells me how to feel. All I need to know, I can find and see on my TV.
That was the incredible Dana Lyons and his song TV God.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.